Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. Hey, I'm Shauna Comptegame. This is Millennial Money, and today we're talking spending St. Patrick's Day in Dublin.
Millennial Money with Shauna Comptegame. It will expand your brain.
Hey there. So this week on Millennial Money Travel Tuesday, we take you to one of our favorite places in the entire world as we give you a local's perspective of Dublin, Ireland. So since it's St. Patrick's Day this week, we thought we'd spend a little time in the Emerald Isle of Ireland and give us a little tour around Dublin. So we I've been to Dublin several times, but I actually finally got to take you a couple years ago for our anniversary, and we actually got to go see our favorite band, U2. But on that trip, you were sick most of the time and it rained most of the time. And raining in Dublin is pretty normal, a lot of different times of the year. We were there in November, so it tends to be a rainy at those times of the year. But, you being sick, we couldn't really go out and see a lot of the city, but what we did see you liked a lot, right?
Yeah. I mean, I hardly ever get sick, so it was really strange, but it was one of those where, you know, we got on the plane, I was sick, we got there, I was sick. The whole time the weather was cold and rainy, and of course I wasn't sleeping very well, and I stayed sick, I got more sick, we flew home, I was sick, and I went straight to the doctor. So, I mean, what I saw of Dublin and Ireland, I loved, but it just was
it was just hard because I just didn't want to go out and do very many things.
Yeah, well, at least we got to go to some of the highlights. We got to go to Grafton Street, where some of the best shopping is there. We got to go to the Guinness storehouse, where you can sample Guinness, and by far one of the best tours, no matter if you like beer, don't you think? That's a great tour.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big museum person, but I think that's a great tour. And I mean, if you go to Dublin, right, you have to go to the Guinness store. It's just, you have to do it.
Well, it's a museum that you actually drink beer, and they have a 360-degree bar, and they have a few restaurants. So yeah, it's definitely on the to-do list. And then also, weren't you surprised how diverse the food scene is, too? I mean, we had some good Irish fare, but we also had some great pizza and some other stuff there, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, it's sort of what's happening in a lot of the big cities kind of around the world, where there's a really diverse food culture because there's a lot of diversity in the people now. And so it shows up in the food. And there's obviously a big food scene going on, you know, across the world.
Yeah. So, that's why Dublin is just really becoming one of the fastest growing, really cool cities in Europe to travel to these days. And they have direct flights with Aer Lingus and what we flew this last time, Ethiopian Airlines too.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, we talked about, you know, kind of the budget airlines, you know, a couple podcasts ago, and, you know, all of these other airlines really popping up. And I would say, you know, if you, especially in the summer months, which, you know, it's more expensive traveling to Europe, although this summer seems to be pretty on par with, you know, being more low cost fares. But if you're going to travel in the summer, you just got to watch for the fares. I mean, there are a lot of online sites where you can actually, you know, click something and it can watch the fare for you and send you notices when the fare goes down, because there are quote unquote right times to book airfare and not so great times to book airfare. But these airlines are definitely helping, you know, push down the cost of fares because there's a lot more competition now.
Yeah, well, Aer Lingus is an Irish carrier, and then who would have thunk Ethiopian Airlines of all airlines it's one of the biggest ones around the world, but they also fly straight to Dublin, which is a really cool thing. And I loved it. I actually liked the flight a lot. So this summer, we're hopefully going to hit Ireland and go to a few different places, including Dublin, and do a redo for you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I've actually oddly never been to Europe in the summer. I mean, I was in France and Italy like September-ish, but I've never been, you know, kind of the main part of summer in Europe. So I'm really looking forward to it.
And one other thing we have coming up too here on Millennium Money Travel Tuesday, we are going to have we're going to be releasing our city guides soon. So we have a couple different European cities, a really great iconic American city, and then we're going to have a lot more city guides after that. So hopefully in the next few weeks, we will have those out. We're designing them right now. So we will have those to be released to you guys. And so you guys could check it out. So to start off in our tour around Dublin, we talked to a couple of friends that are locals, born and raised in Dublin. So first off, we have Orle Ross. She runs a very unique events company in Dublin called Making Space. They create these really cool events around Ireland and the UK. Orle is a local Dublin native and gave us an interesting behind-the-scenes tour around Dublin, as well as giving a few Irish language pointers, which is always helpful, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even though they speak English, it's just a little different English.
Well, thanks for coming on the show and all the way from Dublin. We appreciate it.
No worries at all. Delighted to be talking to you guys.
So tell us who you are and about your business, Making Space, in Dublin.
Yeah, so my name's Orla, and I run Making Space, which basically is a problem-solving creative events production company. I broker partnerships between companies and my different clients, both corporate and creative and cultural, with different audiences, creative and innovative kind of makers and doers in Dublin City. So kind of designing and delivering projects and events that connect people together.
What kind of clients do you usually have?
It's a real mix, and I try to keep it quite varied. So everything from cultural partners like the Science Gallery, Offset, and Dublin Maker, to more corporate clients like Heineken, Jameson, Airbnb, and then charity organizations like SUIS, which is education and outreach in the developing world, to Movember. I have a really good relationship with them as well.
That's cool. And then you guys also have these walking tours that you do, some for the public, but some for events as well too, right?
Yeah. So I guess it breaks down into like events, which would be experiential kind of gigs and things like that, to smaller kind of static exhibition pieces, and then walking tours, which is something that I personally really love. It's taking audiences through the city and kind of weaving a story for a client that's either corporate or creative, connecting those people with the city in a meaningful way.
Yeah, and that's a totally unique way to actually see the city too.
Exactly. Dublin's really small. It's easy to walk. The weather, you know, as bad of a rep as it has, and as bad as the weather is currently, generally it's a nice city to walk around. And you know, as a tourist, many of them visit Dublin for just like a short hop. Yeah. So you're looking at like 3 days. And if you were to do a walking tour on history, a walking tour on creativity, a walking tour on food, you wouldn't have time to do anything else. So, you know, the walking tours I do for tourists and, you know, visitors to Dublin, and also Dubliners themselves who want to like reconnect with their city. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an hour and a half off walking, connecting with like creatives who are doing interesting things, pop-ups that are happening in the city at the time, and then galleries and exhibitions that are happening.
Are you actually from Dublin?
I am, born and bred. You know, I've had to go away for a little short spurts of time, but I'm a bit of a home bird. I'm always here.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been traveling to Dublin over the last 10 years, and I've just seen so much growth and change there. Why is Dublin such a great place to travel these days?
In terms of Dublin as a city for change, I think it's so true. You know, the amount of companies that are setting up here as a springboard into Europe, or vice versa, springboard into the States, is really, really impressive. And it's also making quite an impact, both socially and economically. You also have a lot of innovation, startups, and creativity happening. So the likes of Intercom, Facebook, Google, Twitter, HubSpot, the list goes on and on and on, are using Dublin as a hub. And so that's bringing a huge amount of vitality and kind of interest in Dublin. So then for tourists who are visiting for the weekend and maybe for longer periods of time, it's a really diverse mix of activities from, you know, because Dublin is so small, you have, you know, it takes you 30 minutes to get from the sea where you can swim, get on a boat, go fishing, go through the city and then up to the mountains. It's for walks to visit lake, go visit monastery. You know, there's a huge amount of activities in that, you know, short area, which is brilliant, you know. Did I explain that well enough?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what are some of your favorite places, maybe off the tourist path, to actually go and do, or maybe something people have never even heard of or something like that?
Well, I guess for me, during the summer is the best time for Dublin. So, you know, you can leave work at 6 o'clock from the canal, which is just on the edge of the city, cycle for about 15-20 minutes and be in a amazing, peaceful beach where you can go swimming, grab a bite to eat, and that's on both sides of Dublin is separated by the Liffey. So if you go south side, you get to Sea Point, Dunleary, and the 40 foot. And during the summer, it's mobbed with people out for the day, out for a swim, you know, families, you know, young people. It's really amazing. And then out towards the north side of the city, you have a Bull Wall for like walking and skating, and then further out you have Howth, which hosts amazing prawn festivals, food festivals, music festivals, and then you have out to Rush and Skerries, where you can go sailing and stuff like that. And it's all, you know, 30-45 minutes to get out there, even by public transport. So you don't have, you're not limited in terms of transport links, which is really good.
Yeah, and you guys have a really good public transport system there too.
Yeah, like I think, you know, tourists and people today are looking for like seamless transactions, you know, that frictionless service. So you can go from, you know, having your Dublin bus card, which will get you access to every transport link in the city, to getting on a Dublin bike for shorter stops. And it's really easy as a tourist, you know, you can get that card in any of the local shops, and it just gives you, I guess, free rein on the city, which is great, you know.
Yeah, and one of the best things about Dublin, I think almost anywhere in Ireland, is literally you people are really nice and very helpful. I mean, you'll ask anybody and they're like, oh yeah, and I mean sometimes they'll even get in the car with you and help you with directions.
Absolutely. And I don't say this lightly. I do honestly think that Ireland is super friendly, but Dublin, we want to go out of our way to make sure that when you go home, you're talking about us, you know, that our ears are burning, because we were really nice, you know. And that's the thing, you know, Dublin has a tradition of storytelling and talking, and sometimes you kind of have to tell Dubliners to, you know, go on. You know, if you end up in a taxi with a talkative taxi driver, you might actually miss where you're meant to be going, you know.
right. but again that's the part of the charm.
It's part of the charm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's some of my favorite things to do a lot of times. I mean, I just will just jabber with a taxi driver. I'm just like, no, okay, just keep going, I want to hear more of your story.
Yeah exactly. And you know, the last few years we had the Web Summit in Dublin, and it moved to Portugal this year, last year. And you know, I think it's one thing that people who attend those kind of conferences miss is the Dublin aspect. It's not even, you know, the networking in inverted commas. It's just the chat and the crack and the can't be bottled conversation that you have on the way to the bar or something like that. You know?
Right. Well, you actually have to explain the crack. I know what the crack is, but you got to explain what the crack is.
So I'll start by spelling it. It's C-R-A-I-C. And crack in Irish, in Gaelic, means the fun conversation, the jokes and the charm. That's a pretty loose translation, but it's very hard to describe in English, but it's the conversation that you would have with your very close friends, and Irish people seem to manage to have it with basically anyone. So whether you have only met them once or you've met them 100 times, they can have a conversation with you on a one-to-one basis that makes you feel like you're at home.
One of the things I've noticed traveling to Dublin is that the food scene has just boomed. And the last time we were there a year ago or so, we didn't eat it. We ate at one Irish place and we ate everywhere else. Tell us about some of the newer restaurants there that you love to go eat in Dublin.
Like, you know, I think that there's this stereotypical version of what Irish food is. And I don't think it reflects true Irish cuisine. And, you know, there's a number of people that are really trying to change those preconceived ideas. There's an amazing guy out west in the west of Ireland who's doing this event each year called Food on the Edge. And it's looking at food trends both in Ireland and abroad and really just, you know, showcasing the best in both Irish and international cuisine, but also really championing Irish local food in a way that that definitely is a new way of thinking. Some of my favorite places, like I feel bad, especially because this is being recorded, because if I don't mention the right people, I don't food is something that we obviously hold very dear. And, you know, for a long time, I think chefs were trying to just carve their own path. For a long time, chefs were just trying to make do with what they had, right. But now they're really carving their own path. So you have the likes of Carl Whelan, who is an Irish man who's cooking up incredible Asian food in a new place called Hang Dai, which has one of the best speaker sound systems in Ireland. And basically, when you walk inside, it feels like you're going into a underground train station, almost like getting into one of those like old school trains.
Right.
And it's all just like booths, and it's food, incredible food up till 11:30, and then it turns into, you know, a crazy nightclub till all hours. So that's, you know, it's not traditionally Irish, but it takes that mixture of, you know, food and socializing and mixes it together. You have the likes of Meet Me in the Morning and Fia, and Fia is F-I-A, which means deer in Irish, and both really focus in on locally sourced produce. They create menus that change daily, but, you know, stay really simple. And, you know, there's probably 20 seats in both of them. They're in sort of suburban areas of the outskirts kind of the Dublin city centre. And I'm not joking, you can't get a seat in place. It's really amazing. And, you know, it's using, you know, what I remember as traditional kind of Irish food. You have, you know, that seem to be buzzwords now, but, you know, kale, trout, mackerel, black pudding, and just doing it in really unusual and interesting ways, which is really, really good. And then, you know, and I'm sure that you saw this when you were over, but it's just really exploded is coffee. And yeah. I think this is happening in every large city, but in Ireland and in Dublin especially, you can really feel it. Everyone's taking a lot more interest in the coffee industry, you know, starting with the likes of 3FE, which set up maybe 6 years ago and, you know, really has made a name for itself internationally as the leading light when it comes to cupping coffee. And I think something that I was talking with somebody recently is, you know, coffee in Ireland tastes so different because the milk is so good. And I think the likes of Indigo and Cloth, which is a really amazing collaborative space in Temple Bar, they've really mixed it up in the fact that there's a design studio and an agency upstairs. Then you have a men's and kind of concept store, men's clotheswear and concept store in the middle to ground floor. And then you have Clement Abico, which does some of the best coffee in the city, also in the on the ground floor. So you have that collaborative kind of innovative story that runs straight through the building, which is great.
Wow. And yeah, because I even saw on the, I think it was the Fabulous Food Trails, they actually have even a coffee walking tour where you can go to different coffee places.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know how much I would recommend spending 3 hours drinking coffee.
I
know what I'm like after two coffees. But it's such a good way to explore the city and see the different, because there's so many different types of coffee experiences mm-hmm. that you can have, as weird as that sounds. But it's not just about the coffee. It's about the interior design. It's about the food that goes yeah. with the coffee. It's about the staff. And I think that's something, you know, Ireland has won a number of coffee championships in the last few years. And it's because of a number of different it's the design, it's the experience, and it's the coffee itself and the milk.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is good. but yeah, it's really good. Actually, the Fab Food Trails are brilliant because, you know, the different places you can go every day of the week, you know, from like healthy kind of raw foods and vegan foods up to, you know, your heavy hitting Michelin stars like Delahunt or Chapter Ones. And also there's a new place, Fantastic, but it's actually just called Mr. Fox, on the north side of the city is really making waves at the moment. Brunch is like obviously everywhere. Brunch is really popular.
Yeah.
But like brunch in Dublin goes on for like 3.5 hours, you know?
Yeah.
You sidle up in the Fumbly Exchange or something like that. I can explain this better I'm gonna just explain it to you first.
Well, how about that? Why don't you just tell me like what is like a go to brunch place in Dublin? Yeah. And why is brunch so important in Dublin?
Yeah. Yeah. So in terms of afternoon tea, I think you hit the nail on the head. The Marion Hotel is definitely the place to go. It's slow moving. You can have conversational. You can go from having tea to finishing with, you know, a glass of Prosecco or champagne. But I think, you know, for us and my own personal friends, brunch has become a really integral part of our weekends. You know, there's a lot of places, for example, the Fumbly Cafe in the kind of west side of the city that does yoga in the morning and then you go for brunch afterwards. And it's a real like experience because it's a large gang of people, you know, starting their day really fresh with yoga and then sitting down at like one long really big table, and the food is just incredible. And it's almost like that Greek style of meze where it's lots of smaller portions and you kind of pick at things and, you know, have maybe three coffees and a tea and a kombucha, and then, you know, you're ready to properly start your day. But also the likes of the Dean Hotel, where else, what can I suggest? The Morrison does a male orientated afternoon tea, which is, you know, good for the guys who want to watch the rugby but also hang out and have the chats and also be fed. So that's, you know, I think people are thinking outside the box when it comes to what people want.
Right.
You know, it's not just going to the local pub and having Guinness for 5 hours. It's not just going for a coffee. It's not just going for lunch and going about your day. It's a real mix of different things.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. One, I think the key in the wrap up here is that Dublin is one of those cities that whether you go and have a pint, whether you go have a cup of coffee or have tea or even brunch or something like that, you could actually really get to know people and have a chat, as you say, too, and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when you contacted me about it, like three kind of people that I was thinking about, you know, and really kind of like brings that home is Andrea Horan. She set up Tropical Popical with her sister, and basically Tropical Popical is a nail bar. But if you go there, you get such an incredible experience. You get to know the city just by talking to her and her staff. She set up this website called Unreal Issues, which is for women who want to like explore different topics and stuff like that. And, you know, or the likes of James Kavanagh, who became a Snapchat star based on the fact that he used to scare the bejesus out of his boyfriend. And now they set up, well, they went from that to working on a pop-up food brand, and now they're setting up a cafe that brings together a lot of those different elements. You know, you don't just experience one side of Dublin, you kind of experience a number of different things just in one place.
Okay, so next we spoke with Peter White, who is born and raised in Dublin, but now he's living in New York. Peter is actually a Millennium Money listener, and he's become a really good friend, so we tapped into his Dublin knowledge and insights. Peter will even teach us how to say cheers in Irish, which is very important when you're in Dublin.
So Peter, you're a Dubliner, and you're living in New York now, and you're actually a Millennium Money listener that we've gotten to know and become friends. Dublin's really become one of the great European cities to travel to these days. How has Dublin changed as long as you've lived in Dublin?
Oh, that's a great question. So I think Dublin has really kind of, let's say, matured over the last number of years. So it's certainly kind of hit a pretty big recession there back, I suppose, when everyone else did in the noughties. And then kind of ever since then, I think in the last handful of years, it's actually, you know, the places that kind of made it through have gotten a lot stronger. So it's kind of, I think they've really upped the culture. They've upped kind of the fun of it. I think kind of a lot of the places there are a lot more character than they used to. So there's lots of really interesting places now to see in Dublin. And there's also been a pretty big kind of a technological revolution in the city as well. So it has the basis for a number of large technological companies. So there's some pretty cool stuff going on in Dublin at the minute. It's a good time to go.
Well, it seems like, too, every time I go that I see something new and different, and also like cranes in the air. It seems like there's construction all the time there right now, which is good. I think that's always a good sign.
Yeah, totally. They're building like crazy in Dublin, and I suppose it's kind of, you know, they haven't kind of eased up on the laws to let the skyscrapers come in, but it's certainly developing outwards. Lots of nice kind of little neighborhoods to see, lots of stuff outside the very kind of core of the city center. There's a lot of very interesting places, and it's still all very much walking distance, so you can really kind of, you can see a lot just by, you know, on foot or even on a bicycle.
Right. And since we're coming up on St. Patrick's Day, and we're going to actually air this episode around St. Patrick's Day. So St. Patrick's Day is huge here, obviously, in New York and Chicago and so many places. But Ireland hasn't always embraced St. Patrick's Day, but now it's really a popular thing. Was that always the case? Did you guys always celebrate St. Patrick's Day growing up, and has it become a bigger thing there?
Yeah, I think it's kind of, I suppose, you know, you think of, there's a lot of cliches around St. Patrick's Day. So yeah. It's a double-edged sword kind of where, you know, we like that people are aware of our national holiday, but at the same time, you kind of, the drinking can be taken a little bit too far. But certainly the Dublin has a lovely parade, and all of the local kind of towns and villages around the country would have their own parades as well. So, you know, in the afternoon, it's all very kind of well-intentioned, and it's a nice kind of a family afternoon out to check out the parades, and there's plenty of culture that goes along with that. And then I suppose as kind of the day goes on, and in the Temple Bar neighborhood of Dublin, you know, things can take a bit of a turn.
Right, right. Well, I mean, and speaking of bars, I love drinking Guinness in Ireland. I don't really like it here. It doesn't taste the same at all. It is, you know, it's a whole quality thing. And there's so many great traditional pubs in Dublin. What are some of your top pubs that like a person has to go to grab a pint in Dublin?
That's a great question. I'm glad you recognize the difference in quality.
Totally,
you drink it in.
Yeah,
it's a different beast. And it's certainly, it's even if you're not a beer drinker or not a stout drinker, yeah, you definitely need to try Guinness while you're in Ireland. So there's a few good. There's a ton of good and great places to get Guinness, and it's one of these things that everybody you meet will have their own favorite place and their own recommendation. Two of the places that jump out to me that I'll be frequenting next time I'm back in Ireland are Grogan's, which is on South William Street.
Right.
That's a very popular place. Kind of there's, you know, a couple of tables outside as well. But you'll find what I like about that place is that there's a little bit of every type of person is in there. So you'll go in and you'll have kind of students kind of mingling with kind of businessmen and businesswomen, and it's just one of these fun places that, you know, you can just kind of start up a conversation with anybody around you, and everyone's very, very friendly in there. And the Guinness is excellent. So that would be kind of my number one spot in the city.
Right.
The other place that's right up there as well is called the Long Hall, and that's on Georgia Street.
We made it there last time and loved it. It's great.
Yeah, that's a super spot. And actually, last time Bruce Springsteen was in town, he goes there as well. So it's that one comes highly recommended.
Yeah.
But that's a really cool place. And both of those places, they're both city center, but you're very much, you know, you're going to find the real Dubliners in there as well, and you're going to find all the locals. I would definitely, just as a kind of a rule of thumb, I would just encourage people to get outside of Temple Bar. I think it's kind of very easy to go to Dublin and go to the bars in the Temple Bar area, including obviously the Temple Bar itself. Yeah. There's nothing about those bars that you can't kind of get in a more authentic and more kind of a fun manner just by leaving the Temple Bar region. So that's my two, the Long Hall and Grogan's.
And is there actually like a pub etiquette there, that you, things to do or not to do in a pub?
That's a good one as well. I suppose kind of one thing is to, you know, I suppose you need to kind of recognize that Guinness takes a little while to pour. So I think kind of, you know, having a little bit of patience when your Guinness is being prepared and it's done in two steps. Yeah. So, you know, you're going to be waiting a minute or longer just to watch it. And then, you know, don't drink your Guinness until it settles. So even after they serve it to you, it's still not ready. You have to kind of, you have to take your time and just kind of, you know, be pensive and enjoy it. But that would be one of the main ones. Apart from that, it's pretty easy going. I think kind of, you know, try not to spill anybody's drink is a good rule of thumb anywhere.
Right.
But no, people are friendly. You know, if you kind of have a question, just tap somebody on the shoulder. And then I suppose once somebody starts to break into a bit of trad music, just let them at it. And, you know, just either kind of, you know, just sit and listen and enjoy it.
Right. Well, outside of the pubs, what are some like non-touristy, though? There's a lot of great tourist places to go to, the Guinness Storehouse and so many other places around Dublin. But maybe it's a non-touristy thing that people may not always expect about Dublin.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, again, Dublin is just, it's such a small place as well that it's just very easy to get around on foot. And there's lots of nice little neighborhoods to walk in and out of. One of my kind of favorite things to do in the city is to walk along the Grand Canal. So that's kind of, you know, that's south of the city, but it's still very much walkable below the city center. And Grand Canal, just kind of a nice canal that kind of splits the city center from some of the more of the suburbs. And you just walk along there. It's beautiful. It's very, very relaxing, nice and easy going. Some of the other things that I like, I'm a big fan of the Science Gallery, which is attached to Trinity College within the city center.
Right.
Science Gallery do exhibitions that last kind of a few months at a time. It's kind of run by the students within the university. And it's kind of, you see some really, really interesting things in the Science Gallery. So those can be two things that I enjoy. And then another one, which kind of a little bit off the tourist track, but still very much kind of in that cultural kind of an element of the city. If you want to get a bit of live trad music, the Cobblestone, which is in Smithfield. And that's, you can get there via the Lewis, which is kind of the, what would you call that? The kind of the urban rail.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's quite easy to get to, again, walking distance, like everything else in the city. But that's a nice place. They do live music every night. And again, that's somewhere that you're going to find the real locals kind of enjoying it.
And that's really more traditional Irish music and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That'll be very, very traditional. And even within there, you know, there's no stage really. It's kind of, people will just, you know, there will be a table of musicians within the bar and they will just kind of, yeah, you know, get stuck into it and just kind of sing where they're sitting. So that's kind of, that's a nice one to enjoy.
Right. And that's almost like celebrating St. Patrick's Day all year round for us that aren't from Dublin.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's kind of, you know, if you think about kind of what St. Patrick's Day means to the people of Ireland, it's about the culture. It's about the history. It's kind of, and you know, the trad music and the Guinness are a big part of that.
What are some of the other places to go catch a live show in Dublin?
There's lots of bars that will just have it on certain nights. Mm. Typically, just by walking around, you're going to see kind of the placards and things outside of bars and signs just saying whether there is live music or what nights of the week there will be. So that you know, just walk around the city and you will find a lot of places that will be playing it. And then kind of if kind of traditional music isn't your thing as well, one of the good area kind of in the city to go out in at night anyway is Camden Street. Hmm. So that's kind of just a little ways out from the city centre, but Whelan's is there, and they do concerts almost every night of the week, and it's not a very big venue, but it's big enough that you'll get some you know, a pretty high standard of music in there.
Right. Well, I love Dublin because they have so many great street performers as well, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. You know, certainly, kind of Grafton Street would be one of the main shopping streets in the city. You'll always get buskers there and kind of people doing pretty interesting things. I know that's another one that on Christmas Eve kind of you would typically get Bono and the Frames, and you'd get some pretty big names up there.
Right. Yeah. Which that's I mean, I think the last couple of years, like, yeah, Glenn Hansard and Hosier as well too. In fact, this year they had to shut it down because they had too many people this year.
Yeah, I think any time you get a big crowd in Dublin, things tend to come to a halt. All right. So it's
Well, the food scene has really like exploded in Dublin. Every time I go there, there's like a new restaurant. And this last time we visited, like we ate like one place that had traditional Irish fare and stuff like that. What are some of the your favorite places, like maybe newer places to go eat these days in Dublin?
Yeah, kind of one of my favorite places that had opened quite recently before I moved on is the Woolen Mills. So that's actually quite in the city centre as well. It's just off the Halfpenny Bridge. Uh-huh. They would do kind of reasonably traditional food, but kind of but quite nice. That's a good spot for brunch. My favourite place to eat in the city is Bunsen, which is a burger place, and it has a very limited menu, which they actually give to you on a business card. Uh-huh. But Bunsen's, you know, strictly does burgers. There's actually the first one was on Camden Street, but they've now expanded. So there's a few of the Bunsen restaurants around the city, but that's really kind of the best burger I've had now. So that's as good as it gets, I think, in my opinion.
Nice. Everyone likes a good burger, so that's
It's good fare for a kind of a long day in Dublin. Mm-hmm. Fate Street Social is another one. That's somewhere I really like. That's been around a few years, and there's a few that have cropped up around the South William kind of area of the city, and then over to George's Street. You'll find a few interesting places around there to eat. And there's always, as you said, there's more and more places popping up all the time. People from Dublin will certainly tell you they're from Dublin straight off. So it's a big part of their identity. So I'd say kind of one of the things that's specific to people from Dublin, and actually as a kind of a city that's you know, expanding, getting a little bit bigger, but still quite small, they're very partial to whether they're from the north or the south side of the river that goes through Dublin. So you'll have kind of your north siders and your south siders. Mm. And they'll have their own kind of personalities, and it's something that they'll be very aware of and something they'll be very proud of. And it's really just one of those things that gets very competitive within the city is whether you're north or south of the Liffey.
Okay, so I have one last question. It's a really important one. How do you say cheers in Irish?
that is a good question. Yeah, so yeah, sláinte.
Sláinte.
Which is spelled as if it's slainty, but it's pronounced sláinte. But people will understand if you say cheers as well. I suppose we're trying to be more multicultural, and we accept cheers as a fitting way to kind of to tip your pint to somebody.
When it comes to work, communication is key. Even if you don't have a writing job, sounding unconfident, indecisive, or passive-aggressive can hold you back professionally and hurt your team's productivity. Grammarly Premium's advanced tone suggestions make sure you're always sending the right message. Sound clear and confident in your writing and automatically replace negative-leaning language with solution-focused alternatives. With Grammarly's help, you can build stronger relationships at work, be constructive in the face of challenges, and help your team get things done. Grammarly works where you do, so your team's projects get done before the deadline. And with features like comprehensive spelling, grammar, and clarity-focused sentence rewrites, Grammarly helps keep your writing efficient and mistake-free. The right tone can move any project forward. Get it just right with Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/podcast to sign up for free. Then get 20% off when you upgrade to premium. That's 20% off at grammarly.com/podcast.